James chapter 5. James chapter 5, verse 16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much.
Before we get started this morning, I have been doing some thinking over the last few days and realized that we are about 1 year now since my wife and my son and I moved out here and began to work with the brethren in this locale. And looking back at that first year, if you had told me that in my first year as a full-time gospel preacher, I would cover topics such as demonology, such as who the Holy Spirit really is, and such as the idea that we looked at in the last couple of weeks of dealing with false teaching in regards to how it deals with homosexuality and various things in the world today, I would have said that that wouldn't look like my first year's calendar. I would not have guessed that we would cover such deep topics that, to be honest, have helped me grow, because I can tell you honestly, and I think I've said this in the past, I have never been in a congregation where there was any talk of demonology or the study of demons. I've never really been anywhere where we spent a great deal of in-depth time looking at the Holy Spirit. It was always somewhat touched upon. That being said, it's also brought to my attention that we have been spending a lot of time on what we will call meat issues, things that are really meant for those that have grown in the Lord and those that are capable of digesting difficult things. And we haven't had a whole lot of milk. And so what I'd like to do over the course of the next few lessons, and I don't know how many this will involve, but I want to kind of get back to the basics. Just a little bit. I want to kind of just look at some things in a very simplistic fashion and see what they mean to us. And this morning, we're going to take a look at the idea of pray for one another, as was mentioned in James. And I want you to consider the question, is this just a good idea, or is it really a responsibility of us as Christians? Now, when I look at the context and when I read the statement made in James, it doesn't seem to indicate to me that, hey, if you want to, this might not be a bad idea. When I look at this, I see James telling them that it's something that they need to be doing. Not only that they need to be doing, but if they do it, it will be beneficial. But have you ever really considered the idea of prayer for others? Have you asked yourself the question, is it possible that I'm neglecting the will of God if I'm not praying for others? And we have multiple passages. I encourage you, write these down. If you'd like, you can go ahead and get a copy. There may be a few copies left of the outline for this particular sermon in the back. But I encourage you to write down the multiple passages that we'll be dealing with. As we go through this, there will be a lot of scripture, and I will be reading probably faster than you can flip back and forth in your Bibles. And the reason being that I want to make sure that we get the information out. I'm not going to read all of these verses, but let's look at just a couple. Open your Bibles to Matthew, the 5th chapter. Let's look at verse 44. Matthew, the 5th chapter, verses 44 simply states, "But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." Now, there could be countless lessons done on that particular verse right there and the idea of how we should deal with those that mistreat us. I want you to focus, though, on the idea that he's talking about, that you need to pray for them. You need to pray for those who would spitefully use and or persecute you. And I don't imagine when you go to God in prayer at the end of your day, as I hope most of you do, as you lay down before you go to sleep at night, I don't know how many of you, I don't even know how often I do, Say a prayer for those that have wronged me that day. Say a prayer for those that have harmed me in some way. But Jesus is telling me that that's something that I should be doing. As a matter of fact, they might need it just a little more than those that have done good, don't they? Those that are doing right and doing what God would have are in a better position than those that are mistreating us. And if we truly want all to enter heaven, then we need to be praying for those who would spitefully harm or persecute us. Matthew 26 and verse 41 says, "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Let's jump ahead, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9, "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." We do not cease to pray for you. We haven't stopped praying for you. My question for us today is, have we even started? Are we actually taking the time to pray for others? Looking ahead in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2, "Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving." And then verse 3, "Meanwhile, praying also for us, that God would open us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains." So not only should we be praying for one another, as Paul teaches, but also Paul actually requested that brethren pray on his behalf as well, because it was important. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, if you can't quote it, you probably will learn it very quickly. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, "Pray without ceasing." Okay? Have you started? And if you started, have you continued to pray? James chapter 5 and verse 16 was our scripture reading this morning. "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." The question I have is, do you believe it? When you read what the Word of God says, do you believe when it says that it avails much, that it does? And if you believe it, are you doing it? You know, a while back, I did a quick talk on the idea of, do we mean what we sing? This is the same concept. Do we mean what we read? Do we mean what we see? And do we believe truly what the Word of God says when it says that it will avail much? And again, we have countless passages. I have just a few where Paul, in fact, does request prayers for himself and those he was working with. We looked at Colossians 4, verses 2 and 3. In Romans, the 15th chapter, in verse 30, he says, "Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me." He doesn't just ask. He says, "I beg you." This is important. This is something that I need in order to fulfill my work in the Lord. So, do you ever stop and think that maybe Alan needs that? Maybe for Alan to complete his work in the Lord, he needs us to pray for him. Right? The same idea. That he may fulfill his work in the Lord. You can mark down 1 Thessalonians 5:25. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1 says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified, just as it is with you." So why should I be praying for my brothers and sisters in Christ? So that the Word can be glorified. So that God can be glorified. It's important. Right? Not just a good idea. Maybe something I need to recognize that I need to be doing on a regular basis. Is it possible we're just unsure what to pray for? Is it possible maybe that we just aren't quite sure what it is that I should go to God in prayer for? Well, I believe that a simple look at God's Word can offer tips on how to pray for others and what to pray for. If you're not sure what it is you should be praying, go to the Word of God. If we're being faithful Christians, we should be in there anyway, shouldn't we? We should be studying it anyway, but we can go to the Word of God. In this lesson, my goal will be to help guide you to some of those places in Scripture. This will not in any way cover every aspect of when and what to pray for others. But what I'd like to do is I'd like to leave you with a starting point. I've often said that the work of a good gospel preacher is to help get you tools that you can take with you to use as a starting point for how you handle your week. It's not my job to give you all the answers in 35 to 40 minutes, or an hour, or whatever it is. But it is a responsibility I believe that I have to help give you direction. And then for you to take that, and your responsibility is to take that direction and to go and use it. So, I believe we'll just look at two areas that we can pray. The first is, let's pray for their spiritual life. That's the most important, isn't it? Isn't that really what matters the most? Prayer for their spiritual life. Don't you really hope that they too, don't you hope that everyone you're in the audience with right now is with you one day in heaven? It's important. So pray that they love God with all their being. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And then we have parallel passages in the New Testament in Matthew the 22nd chapter in verses 36 and 37 and Luke the 10th chapter in verses 26 and 27 that cover the same idea. Matthew records it, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." So, what should you pray for those that you love and care for? You should pray that they follow the greatest command that God says exists. Pray that they will love God with all their being. Pray that that's the most important thing in their life. And this prayer, and the prayer that we have should, we should pray, that this love leads to complete obedience. So first pray that they love God. And if they love God, it should lead to obedience. And we should pray that it leads to obedience. Turn in your Bibles to John the 14th chapter. John chapter 14 and verse 15. Pretty easy to understand. Christ says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Anybody not understand that? I don't think so. I think it's pretty straightforward. So, if you pray that they love God with all their being, then you should also be praying that they obey Him, because that's how they show their love for God, right? By doing what He says. Looking forward in John the 14th chapter, look at verses 23 and 24. Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the words which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." So, pray they will love God with all their being. Why? Because if they don't, then they're not going to do what He wants them to do. Then they're really not going to be the best of people, are they? If they don't love God, then there's no reason necessarily for them to do good for others. We also need to pray that they grow spiritually. I've often said that a lot of times I think the world gets it confused, at least in what I've seen growing up, and that is the idea that it seems that there are those people in the world today that actually leave the impression that the ultimate goal is baptism, and that everything stops there. That baptism is the end-all be-all to what you need. I think we as Christians understand baptism is not the end-all be-all. Baptism is what? Baptism is the beginning Stop and think about it. You're born again, right? Christ and God use terminology that we understand. Stop and think about it. My wife is pregnant right now. When she gives birth sometime in late October or November, will that be it? That's the end all be all. I've got my baby now. Or is that the beginning? Right? The birth is the beginning of a walk and of what we need to do. So we should be praying that our brothers and sisters grow spiritually. Look at Colossians, the first chapter, verses 9 and 10. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Not that they grow in their own knowledge and in what they think to be true, right? Because if you're growing just in your own knowledge, are you necessarily growing spiritually? If it's your knowledge, if it's the mind of Joe Bunting rather than the mind of God, if Joe is studying to learn the mind of Joe Bunting, is he getting the mind of God? No, he's getting his own personal interpretation, but he needs to be praying for the knowledge of God. He needs to be prayed for that he'll have the mind of God. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Why? Because He's the one that deserves the glory both now and forever. Don't try to grow in your own knowledge so that you what? So that you receive the glory. Have you ever seen, even in the religious world today, that there are, quote, religious leaders who you have to address them by whatever five words describe their title? He is the holy high, whatever it is, and it goes on and it goes on and it goes on. And all these descriptions of this individual do what? They praise and honor that individual, don't they? Do they do anything for God? Anything at all? Does God get the glory at all when we say this is the high holy individual? Actually, we take something away, don't we? If we make something else high and holy, we take it away. But there are those that are actually in the religious world today that feel like they deserve the glory. Pray that as you're praying for your brothers and sisters that they're not seeking their own glory. Pray that they're seeking out growing spiritually, that it glorifies God. Hebrews the 5th chapter, verses 12 through 14. The Hebrew writer states, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Does it sound like the Hebrew writer is praising the people at this point? No. He's disappointed, isn't he? He's disappointed because he's saying, you should have grown. You should be able to handle more. But I have to go back to the beginning again, because you're not ready for that yet. Pray for your brothers and sisters that they grow spiritually, that they get past the point of just needing the milk, and they get to a point where they can digest the solid food. Pray that they're able to grow. We also need to make sure that we pray that they speak only the truth. And again, I'll go back to not their interpretation of what the Bible says. Not what I think this is. When I stand up in front of you and I deliver a sermon, it should not be the gospel according to Rob. Right? if Joe Wingo steps up and gives a sermon, it shouldn't be the gospel according to Joe Wingo. It should be a lesson that's from the truth, and it is the Word of God, Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 12. Paul writes, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Listen to this in verse 8. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that which we have already preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. For now, do I persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would be a bondservant of Christ. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man, for I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Even if I as an apostle or anyone else come to you, even an angel come to you and speak something other than the truth, don't listen. Let that person be accursed. So you need to pray that your brothers and sisters are only spreading the truth. You need to pray that when they go out into the world, that's what they're spreading. But you also need to pray that they're speaking. Pray that they speak only the truth. Pray that they don't just come in here once, twice, three times a week, listen to the Word of God, and leave it at that. Right? He says, pray that they speak the truth. Pray that they go out and they do something with it. You know? I hope when you leave here that you're talking about what the Word of God had to say. I hope when you leave here that you're stirred enough maybe to talk about the lesson a little bit. But pray that your brothers and sisters speak the truth. We all know 2 Timothy 2:15. Be diligent, or some say study, to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And we've said it before, and I'll say it again. If it can be divided rightly, it must mean it can be done wrongly as well. So pray that they get it right. Didn't we just have an example of just how damaging it can be when you get it wrong? For those of our visitors who weren't able to be here, we did a lesson. I took a lesson that was put together actually by somebody else where they took a teaching and went counter to what God would teach and tried to proclaim that God approved of or Christ approved of a homosexual relationship. And it was based in Scripture, and it sounded logical, and it was 100% wrong because they didn't read it for the truth. They read it for what their interpretation might be. And they read it to try and prove their own point and not what God wanted. We also should pray that they be protected from the evil one. You ever think about that? When we think about their spiritual life, do we remember to pray that Satan not get his hands upon them, that Satan not lure them away? Is that something maybe we don't think about? John chapter 17 and verse 15. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. Ephesians 6, verses 12 and 13. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Do you recognize that we all wrestle against these things? That when your brothers and sisters leave here, they're going to encounter struggle during the week. And they may not have another brother and sister there with them to help them out. So do you pray on their behalf that they be protected from the evil one? 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. Not just Satan, but also pray that we be kept free from wicked men, evil people in the world. You know, in today's time, we have not suffered the type of persecution that existed for the new church and in the beginning. That doesn't mean it won't happen. We need to recognize that the time may come that we have to speak only the truth, that we have to stand up, and there are going to be wicked people that want to do us harm. And when that happens, first and foremost, we need to pray that whoever's in that situation is still willing to stand. First and foremost, that they not falter from their belief. And then secondly, that for doing so, they be protected from whatever it is that's going to take place. We also should pray that they will devote their life to prayer as well. Why? Look at all the reasons we said prayer is important. I don't need to go back through all the verses, but pray that your brothers and sisters also are devoted to prayer. Because you not only need to do it for them, but they need to do it for you. You need people praying on your behalf as well. And you should pray for their personal life as well. Spiritual comes first, but it's okay to pray for their personal life. To pray that they remain pure. It's a big one. Remain pure and unspotted from the world that we live in. As we look at some of these passages, Matthew chapter 8, or 5 and verse 8, Christ says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." So, you want your brothers and sisters to remain pure in heart. Why? Because if they do, they'll see God. And isn't that what the goal for us is? That's what takes place. Romans 13, 3 through 5. "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God." Do we pray for our brothers and sisters that they not fall into temptation, whatever that temptation may be? Do we pray that for our children? As your young children grow older, as they begin to enter the dating world, do you pray that they remain pure, knowing the effective, perfect, forever righteous man avails much? Or do you leave it to chance? Right? Isn't that really what you're doing? You're not asking for help. James teaches us that you have not because you ask not. So, God's going to do for you what it is you ask Him to. But you need to let Him know what it is you seek. You need to pray for one another. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 3 through 5. "For this is the will of God, your sanctification." Oops, forgive me. I copied down the old thing. So 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 through 5. Let me turn there very quickly. And we'll read exactly what that says as well. No, that was 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 through 5. Okay. My apologies. This is why copy and paste is not always the best method. Moving forward, we'll look at 2 Timothy 2:22, which says, "Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart." How are you going to call on the Lord? You need to call on the Lord from a pure heart. You need to call on the Lord with a pure heart. And it doesn't say turn from, but I like the term flee from youthful lust. Get as far away as you can, as fast as you can. It's one thing to turn away from something and ignore it. It's another thing to flee, to get away from it. You know, we talk about that idea of, I'm going to draw a line in the sand, and it's going to be right here, I'm going to come right up to it saying, God, I don't think I crossed the line yet. I think I'm okay. And people will do that. Is that fleeing from sin? Or is that flirting with sin? You know, I've often talked about, you talk about a person that straddles the fence or the line. They come up, they come right up to the line. You're straddling over. If somebody comes by and gives me a slight nudge from right here at the line, even if it's small, I cross the line, don't I? I've crossed the line. If I'm back here and somebody gives me a slight nudge, I still haven't even gotten to the line, have I? That's the point. Stay away from it. And pray that others will do the same. Don't see just how close I can get without violating. See how far away you can stay from sin. Don't ask yourself, God, am I too close? Ask yourself, God, have I gotten myself far enough away? Or do I need to maybe move just a little bit further? That's what you need to pray for on behalf of your brethren. And you also want to pray that they manage their time wisely. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Length of days and peace will be added to you if you what? Keep the law. If you use your time wisely. Do that which is good. John chapter 9 and verse 4 we read, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. What's Christ saying? I have to manage my time well right now because my time will come to an end. There will come a time when I can't do it. So, how am I going to use my time? We all know the account of the man who has a great deal of wealth, and it's so great that he knocks down his barn and he builds up a greater one. And he fills it up, and he says, soul, you have done well, rejoice. And what's he told? You fool. This night, your life will be required of you. At that point, then whose goods will that be? What good will that do you? Yeah, you did all these great work. You're ready for the future. What if the future ends tomorrow? Are you using your time wisely? When you have an opportunity to present the Word of God, someone says to you, hey, Ernest, I'd like to have a Bible class with you on Friday. I want to study the Word of God. And you say, well, I'd like to do that, but I love to bowl. And I'm going bowling on Friday, but let's get together on Monday. And the person's like, oh, okay, we'll get together on Monday. Saturday night, that person goes out, gets in a car wreck, and dies. Did you help that person get to heaven? Did you use your time wisely? Did you take the opportunity to present the Word of God? Or did you turn your back on something and do something you felt was more important? Right? Yeah, I know you'd like to talk, but I've got time. We've got time. Let's talk about it later. And then something else comes up. And then something else comes up. And then something else comes up. And pretty soon, tomorrow never comes. I'll do it tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes. Because things are more important. We need to pray that our brothers and sisters use their time wisely. Colossians 4:5 says, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Ephesians 5:15-17, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't be unwise, be wise. I've asked you guys in the past, how do you want to be known? Do you want to be recognized as a wise person, or do you want to be recognized as unwise? Yeah, I know that Nathaniel Gibson, he's not real wise, he's not real bright. Is that how you want people to think of you, Nathaniel? Or would you rather say, you know what? That Nathaniel, he's pretty wise. He has a pretty good head on his shoulders. he's somebody I can look up to. That probably feels just a little bit better. And how can you teach the Word of God to someone who thinks you're not wise? They're not going to come to you. They're not going to come to you. They're going to go to someone they think knows what they're talking about. So don't be unwise. Use your time well. James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make profit, whereas you don't know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Use your time wisely. When you know you can do good and you don't do it, to you that's sin. Use the time that you've been given to the best of your ability, because you don't know what tomorrow brings. Your brothers and sisters don't know what tomorrow may bring. They also need to pray that they have a proper view or perspective of themselves. I think we've talked a little bit about the idea of arrogance in the past, but pray that your brothers and sisters have a proper view of themselves. Now, the majority of what we're going to look at in Scripture in just a minute deals with the idea of not thinking of yourself higher than you ought to. And that's important. But don't forget this. You can't think of yourself lower than you ought to either. You can't tell God that you're not worth it. God said, you're worth me giving up my son to save you. You have value. Don't think of yourself as less than who you really are. And don't think of yourself as less than what you really are. The flip side of that we often look at is, don't think of yourself as more than you are either. There has to be a balance. Proverbs 16:5 reminds us, everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though they join forces, none will go unpunished. Anybody want to be an abomination to the Lord? All you got to do is walk around and be proud and arrogant. That's an abomination to the Lord. And even if you get together with a bunch of buddies and you all think you're better than everybody else and you all think you're great, you're all an abomination to the Lord. And it says, none of you will go unpunished. Even if you join forces, you won't go unpunished. Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Looking ahead in Romans chapter 12, Romans 16 says, be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Really? When it comes to the Word of God, I don't care what you think. Does that sound bad? I don't. I don't care what you think this means. I care what God said. And I care what God means. And if you got it right, that's great, and I'll agree with you. But if you got it wrong, I don't care if that's your opinion. And I'm not going to agree with you. And it's not that I don't care about you. I care about you. And because I care about you, I don't care about hurting your feelings. I don't care what you think in regards to. I'm going to correct you if I need to. I don't want to hurt your feelings. I don't want to be mean. But I'd rather you suffer a correction for a mistake here than suffer a correction in eternity for a mistake. That's showing that I love and care for someone. So don't be afraid. And you shouldn't care what I think. You shouldn't care what I think. You should care what the Word of God says. Now, you should care about my soul. You should care about me as a person. But when it comes down to what the Word of God says, nobody's opinion matters. What matters is simply the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. We talked about that a little bit this morning. And then in James chapter 4 and verse 6, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You want to be resisted by God? You want him to not hear what you have to say? Or do you want him to hear you? You need to pray that your brothers and sisters will have a humble heart and a proper perspective that God will hear them. You need to pray these things for your brother and your sister. Pretty simple. Pretty straightforward. This is not a lesson of Rob's opinion. This has been a lesson of what Scripture has to say. This has been the opportunity for you to see just a few things that you can think of that you can use to pray for others. If you're not sure, go back, revisit the lesson. Go back, revisit your Bible on a regular basis, and you'll see how to do this. My prayer today for you is that you'll use this lesson as it was intended, that you'll take it with you, and that you'll use it as a starting point, not an end point. Not say, okay, I got done listening to Rob talk for 30 to 35 minutes, and it's over. But to say, hey, I'm going to go home, and I'm going to see if what he has to say is true. And if it is, then I'm going to use it. As you consider how to pray for others, do you recognize you should be asking these things for yourself as well? We didn't hit that, but don't you think that you should pray that you speak the truth and only the truth? Don't you think you should pray that you're protected from the evil one? Don't you think, and I can say it for every point that we looked at, everything that you need to pray for on behalf of others, you should be praying for on behalf of yourself. And those things that you pray for others, Lord willing, they're praying the same thing on your behalf. Right? That's the goal. You see, I can call and I can ask. I can ask Travis to pray for me. I can call and ask him to pray with me over the phone. And that's one person praying for me, and that's great. Or I can just recognize that as a faithful Christian, I need to pray for others, and I can just do it and then think about it. Lord willing, I could have this whole congregation praying on my behalf. Or Chris could have this whole congregation praying for him. That's power, isn't it? That's power. And that's the way it's supposed to be. And the last thing I say is, please let's make sure that we not take God's expectation lightly. But let's really pray for one another. Don't just look at it as a good idea. See it as an essential part of your walk as a Christian. And if you do, not only will you reap the rewards, but so will your brothers and sisters. Because you're praying for them to reap a reward. So as you consider at the close of this hour, close of this lesson, ask yourself, have I even put myself in a condition where God will hear my prayers? Have I been buried in the waters of baptism and become a member of His church? If I haven't, why haven't I? What's stopping me from saying, I want to be a member of the Lord's church? Or maybe you recognize, you know what? I haven't quite had the prayer life I know I should. You don't have to come forward. You don't have to make an announcement in front of the congregation to say you don't feel like you've had the prayer life you should. Simply go to God and ask Him to help you to make it better. You can ask your brothers and sisters to help you make it better as well. But you don't have to take some kind of formal act to just say, you know what? I want to do better. Because I'll tell you right now, I don't feel like I have as strong a prayer life as I should. I don't. And I know it's something that I need to work on, and I constantly work on. And I hope others have the same mentality that says, it's something that I know I need to work on, and it's important. And I'm going to learn to do it, because it's going to benefit me, and it's going to benefit you, and it's most important, going to benefit God. If you have a need at this time, make it known while we stand and sing.